continue on the subject of God's order for the family. Among the last point in this lesson about 2 weeks ago was the fact that the Christian family, that is in situation where you have wife and husbands who are Christian, are at least the head of that household being a Christian. It must be remembered and be mindful that the husband and wife relationship should highlight Jesus Christ and the church's relationship. Christian should always remember that. If you are a Christian woman, your husband is a child of God, Jesus Christ expects you as a wife to so relate to your husband as Jesus Christ would have the church relate to him. Very important. And if you're a Christian husband, having respect for God's word, Jesus Christ would expect that you relate to your wife in a way that Christ relates to his bride, the church. So, husband should conduct himself to represent Jesus Christ's conduct towards the church. Wife should conduct herself to represent the church's conduct towards Christ. This must be remembered. We must be mindful that in the passage of Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul talks as if he's talking about wife and husband, he points out there that he's really talking about Jesus Christ and the church. But he speaks as if he were speaking about wife and husband. But he's speaking about Jesus Christ and the church. Let us hear the passage in Ephesians 5, 21 through 25.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Mm-hmm. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, mm-hmm. and he is the Savior of the body.
Read on.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Read on.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, mm-hmm. that they might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
What verse is that?
Verse 26.
Probably the verse above where I asked you to read. I asked you to start reading from 21. But you can stop there where he points out. I am speaking in reference to Christ and the church. Now, what must be kept in mind here in respect to what the brother has just read from verse 21? The positional authority or place of the husband in reference to the wife, and the place of the wife in reference to the husband. very important that we keep this in mind. The God-ordained functional place of the wife or husband is not changed or altered by a person's earning or professional position at the workplace. I need to cut that down. That, and this is important, that a wife may earn so much more than her husband does not change God's order. Very important. That a husband might be promoted to some high place in society does not change how he ought to relate to his wife. In other words, once, if you are a Christian, your economic, social, political, professional advance or demotion does not in any way affect the God-ordained order in the home. You see, it's important for those of us who have observed money has interfered so much with God's kingdom. I was encouraged speaking to Brother Chris Roden 2 days ago, I think it was Friday, could have been Thursday. And when he related how among the areas that he has been a help to the church there, there are occasions when for quite some time you have, it was sisters who during the week would send circular on the social media to tell what men will be participating in the worship and what they will do. It was the sisters who were doing that, to tell the men what position they would be, activity they would be doing when Sunday comes. And it was Brother Roden who had to, when they met, point to them that, no, that is wrong. That is the men's duty. Thank God. But then there is another situation where a brother wants to go in the solar energy business. And seems he has a lot of knowledge about that. But he's looking partner to invest with him. Solar energy provide light, not just to the church, to different communities. He's looking partner. And he wants the church to be his partner. And the avenue he takes is that, you know, the church is always in need of money, and this is a good way for the church to earn some money. The church and him go into this business. Profit would share between him and the church. It was Chris Roden
who again, when the maid told them that that is wrong. You know, I when I hung up the phone, I said, one, I didn't know Chris had absorbed so much here. Thank God. And two, he remembers it. He points out to them that the church must not be involved in money-making venture. It was no accident when God made it like that. Because sooner or later, when the church starts looking ways to do business, earn money, you have conflict of interest. That the church involved in money-making business going to become almost the primary thing for the church. So God has fixed it. In fact, even from the Old Testament priesthood, we see the thing. God fixed it that the members earn money for themselves and support the church. Chris, thank God. And to be teaching them that. And thank God. It seems for the most part they are responding to it. Back to the point. Money can become money. Let me be broader. Material blessings was meant to be a blessing by God. It was never meant. The material things of life which God has provided. The material things of life God has provided was never meant to be cursed. But you know what? A lot of times it becomes cursed for us. The gold and the silver and the whatever that God asked the children of Israel to get from the Egyptians when they were leaving, it becomes a curse to the Israelites when the same metal was given to Aaron to make an idol. And same way it is with us. We must realize when God provides material things for us, it was meant to be a blessing. Let us not use it to replace God. And many times, money in the home becomes the center of problem. It was never meant to be like that. That you as a wife may work more money than your husband doesn't change the fact that God has placed him functionally as the head of that family, of the house. Doesn't matter how much you may have 20 PhD in all the different areas of knowledge. He may just barely able to read from an elementary education. That educational advance for you does not change God's order. Christian must remember this, because it's easy for the husband to give up the position in which God placed him because his wife has more education than he does and she has more money and she earns so much more. Look at the position she has at work. God is not a wishy-washy God. He knows what he wants for the Christian home, for the church. So we must remember that our economical, our educational, our social, our political, our financial position and our advance does not change or alter God's order for the home. It's very important that be kept in mind. But, Brother Mitchell, the Bible is an old, outdated, irrelevant, ancient book. Why should anyone look to it for guidance and direction for their marriage and their family in this modern, civilized world? Look how old the Bible is. Remember when we were on this subject 2 weeks ago, I find it interesting that the inspired writer, Peter, what he used or asked the godly women in the church then, that was probably 70 A.D., what Peter said to the women then are brought up as a good example for them was something that was some 2,000 years old. He brought up Sarah and Abraham. That's right. That's what he brought up and told the ladies in the 70-80 A.D. that this, which we see 2,000 years before Christ, is a good example for you ladies. Now, you think the ladies then will say, Peter, you don't know where you are. Say, where you are talking about is Abraham and Sarah 2,000 years ago. We modern ladies here in Great Rome, having the Roman influence, we can't look at old time Sarah and Abraham to get guidance for our home. No, the conduct of Sarah was still relevant 2,000 years after. And this business about the Bible is outdated. It is old. It is irrelevant. It is ancient. I have news for you. God is not old. Think of it. God suffering from old age. Not our God. The Almighty God will always be younger than the child who just born a minute ago. That's right. God ancient. God irrelevant. God outdated. No, you are thinking erroneously, incorrectly, wrongly. God is light years ahead of any world advanced or of any civilization. The Almighty God is ahead. The world will never be as advanced as the Almighty God because God lives in one now. God lives in one eternal present. Time does not unfold for God. God doesn't have a tomorrow that he looks forward to. He doesn't have a yesterday that he has to refer to. Both yesterday and tomorrow is before God's eyes. May I if the great, awesome, wise omnipresent God, and by omnipresent there is present, now he
present yesterday because yesterday is a now forgot. He's present in tomorrow because tomorrow is a now forgot. If that God
can give us a plan of salvation, that is 2,000 plus years old. Watch here. And here is the marvelous things about God's simple plan of salvation. Is that it was given over 2,000 years ago. A plan whereby men and women can become Christian the Bible's way in God's sight. And the plan is so simple and it is workable that for 2,000 years old it needs no revision. It needs no upgrading. It needs no modification. And it is still practicable anywhere human being lives. God's simple plan of salvation to hear, believe, repent, confess, and get baptized. Anywhere human being lives, this is practicable for 2,000 years. But watch here too. The Almighty God gives us some simple acts of worship, action, or activities of worship. Studying His Word. Singing praise to His name. Praying to Him. Communing around Jesus' table and all of that. You know what? Again, like God's plan of salvation, dear believer, repent. The simple acts of worship laid down in the New Testament is practiced everywhere every human being lives. Wait. It has not been neither God's plan of salvation nor the acts of worship has not been or become outdated, irrelevant, because man has become so modern. Society has advanced so much. Society has advanced. Man has become modern. But God's plan of salvation and acts of worship is still practicable and relevant. My point is, if the Almighty God could give a plan, in fact, let me point out something. Did you know that all the man-made religious manifestos, all the man-made, formulated doctrine put together by man? May I? Did you know that almost every one of them, after 50 years or 100 years or so, they need revision and updating? Almost all of them. While I sat there are two other books I should bring with me. I brought the Jehovah Witness, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. This is written by them. I brought the Roman Catholic Catechism, written by them. And what came to me while I sat there, I should have brought the Pentecostal manual. Just to point out, to show you from their own writing, that what I am saying, that anything that man put together, sooner or later, it becomes, at least some of it, outdated and stand in need of revision. The Almighty God doesn't have to revise His plan of salvation. God doesn't have to revise the acts of worship for 2,000 years. For 18 years, the Roman Catholic, among the falsehood, blatant falsehood that they teach, is that the priest must not marry. One, many of you know this, some of you probably don't, that when the Anglican Church broke away from the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Church adopted the very same doctrine, a priest not marry. But as time went on, the Anglican Church have to revise that doctrine. So you find Anglican priests for quite some time now have been married. And it won't be long before Roman Catholic priests are getting married. In fact, watch here now. Watch here now. Roman Catholic having that as a doctrine has created more sin, more evil, more immorality in the Roman Catholic Church than anything else. More abuse of children. Are we there? More abuse of children among the priests all over the world, wherever you find Roman Catholic Church. And it was hidden, suppressed. Have you ever thought that part of that was where men who had committed themselves to the celibate life were not so constituted by God? They were not meant for that type of life. Paul said it in Corinthians when he said, I wish that all men were like I am. But Paul right then acknowledged, not everybody have that ability. And it has really exploded in abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. But the point also is that sooner or later they will have to revise their catechism. There's so much, oh my God, so much foolishness. Let me see if I can just find. Just a few. They're talking about the priests. Did the apostle make other men priests? Yes. For example, Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, Titus, and Matthias. That is false. The apostles did not make anybody priests.
We become priests, men and women, when we become Christian. Don't forget that. Paul did not make anybody priest. It is Christ who appoint us, make us priests, make it that we can come to God through him. Every child of God is a priest. Run to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. 1 Peter.
He also, as living stones.
You also, you who remember the book of Peter was written to the Christian in Judea and also to Gentiles. That's right. You also,
as living stones.
Wait, you who knew the Christian, every one of you, you are stones that are alive. That's what it means, lively stones. Read.
Are built up a spiritual home.
You, the Christian, who are stone, using a metaphor, stone as a metaphor, you are a stone that is alive. You build a house. What type of house?
A holy priesthood.
You are a holy priesthood. Wait. Who is the priesthood? Every child of God make up that priesthood. Every child of God. And you know that? You weren't made so by Peter or Paul or Barnabas. When you obeyed Jesus Christ, you were made a priest. That was verse 5. Look at verse 9.
But ye are a chosen generation.
You are a chosen generation.
A royal priesthood.
Every child of God comprises that royal priesthood. Everyone.
A holy nation.
You are a holy nation. Everyone.
A peculiar people.
You are a peculiar people. This is talking to the Christian in general and individual.
That ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
The reason we were made priests, among the reasons. How did the apostle ordain other men priests? By praying for them and imposing hand on them. That's false. The apostles did not lay hands on anybody to make them Christian. Remember, you become a priest under the New Testament system, man or woman, when you became a Christian. The apostle now lay hand on you to pass on some abilities. Amen. Called spiritual gifts. My God, I can't understand how people have the Bible and can get it so wrong. How are the powers of the priesthood handed down today? Today, the bishop hand down the powers of the priesthood just as the apostle did. A pure hogwash, this. Foolishness. What is necessary to become a priest? Get this now, no? To become a priest, You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes when I read this, I say, my God, how can any man who have the Bible, and this is why hell stands for the justice of God and the holy, because you see, the Almighty God saw to it that every man can have the Bible if he wants it. Thanks be to the powers of God. Every person can have the Bible, even in communist country, you can have the Bible. Even in Muslim country, you can have the Bible. And how under God high heaven a person can have the Bible and accept these pure, downright, and scriptural foolishness. What is necessary to become a priest? That is, if you want to become a priest, according to the Roman Catholic, to become a priest, a man has to study for about
12 years in a special school called seminary and be approved by his bishop to become a priest. Yes, to become a man-made Roman Catholic priest, you have to do that. To become Jesus' priest, all you need to do is hear his word, believe, repent, confess, and baptize. What a difference. You don't have to go and study in a school for 12 years. And then below this now, he talks about, why don't priests get married? They don't marry because they gave two reasons here. The single life is a holier life recommended by Christ. That's false. That's false. Paul who wished all men were like he was. And keep in mind, Paul was a Pharisee. And the rule for being a Pharisee, one of the rules, was that you have to be married. What happened to Paul when he became a Christian in respect to his family, we don't know. We don't know. In fact, let us run just to hear a little of Paul's recommendation. 1 Corinthians 7, 7 through 9.
For I wish that all men were even as I myself.
You are getting it. I wish.
But each.
Wait. Here is Paul expressing a personal wish. Right along the same context, he's going to talk about for the present distress. He's going to talk about that is the present distress was what was happening, the persecution that was happening to the church then, right at that time. Yes, read, brother, I wish that.
I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God.
That is it. Paul had a single life, at least at this time. Because, and as I said, if you read the whole context, through like chapter 8, 9, you will see that he placed a lot of emphasis on the problem that the church was then experiencing and realized that a man with a family, wife and children, would have a greater problem. He said, I wish that all men were like I am. But right then he acknowledged that all men and women cannot be. Read, brother.
One after this manner.
Wait. Pick up at the right spot.
But every man hath his proper gift of God.
Everybody hear that? That is, every person is not so made that they can live the single life.
Yeah.
Paul says, one after this manner,
and another after
and
that.
And another after that manner. That's right. For any church to impose celibacy upon a whole group of people, that itself is sinful and ungodly. And no doubt it's backfiring in the type of evil that has been done sexually to children in the Roman Catholic Church. What we are saying, we are still on the point. That sooner or later, the Anglican Church, who, and one for many, umpteen years, maintain the celibate life for their priests, just like the Roman Catholic, but then they came. It's the fact that anything man put together after a few decades, it has to be adjusted, updated, upgraded, or whatever. Not so with God. When God puts something together to last indefinitely, it's going to last indefinitely. You won't find the Jehovah's Witness reprinting this book anymore. Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained. Why, Brother Mitchell? This book was withdrawn. It was one of their standard book, 50, 40, 50 years ago. Just looking if I had written the time, because this was given to me by a Jehovah's Witness in Detroit, Michigan, when I was going to school. I was 22, 23 then. But you wouldn't find this. When I am involved with Jehovah's Witness and show this to them, they become really curious. They would take that book on the table of contents and really look. If it's from them, it is from them. But you see, after a while they found out that there is so much conspicuous plain false within this that they had to withdraw. God does not have to withdraw his plan of salvation. He does not have to withdraw his simple acts of worship. 2,000 years and they are still relevant. I find. How do we know that the new heavens are already working? That is, the Jehovah's Witness book here, Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained, page 212. How do we know that the new heavens are already working? Because, they answer the question, because God's kingdom with Jesus Christ on the throne was set up in heaven in 1914. No, if it was set up in heaven in 1914, how you Jehovah Witness down on earth here know that? And if God's kingdom was set up in heaven with Jesus Christ on the throne, then we have to burn up the book of Corinthians. Because that would prove false from what Paul teaches in chapter 15 and verse 23 to 27. Let us hear that quickly.
But each one in his own order.
Mm-hmm.
Christ the first fruit, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming.
Mm-hmm.
Then comes the end.
Mm-hmm.
When he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and all authority.
The end is when Christ is going to turn back the kingdom to his Father. It's not when he's going to start reigning.
Yeah.
It's important that as the brother read, you get what the passage is saying. Read on.
He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power.
Read on.
For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet.
Wait. It's important that we understand what is being said here. You see, keep in mind that Brother McFarlane was written some 1,400 years before 1940. And when it says, read that part again.
He must reign.
Must, what you know? That means he must continue to
rule.
To reign. That's what that means. He must reign. Which is telling us Jesus Christ is not reigning. The passage is saying he must and will continue to reign till
he has put all enemies under his feet.
Read.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
You all get the drift here? So that tells you that Christ is reigning. While death is also having its way, it's just until the end comes when Christ is going to put away death once and for all.
Amen.
But the passage is telling you while death is still going on, mm-hmm, Jesus Christ is also reigning. And Christ will continue to reign, mm-hmm, until he has put death away forever.
Amen.
But then the Jehovah's Witnesses implying here that he didn't start to reign until 1914. So what about the passage that tells us that he translates us into his kingdom? Colossians chapter 1, 13. Giving God thanks for taking us out of the power of darkness. Notice the tense of the verb. And have translated in 65 AD, sometime there when Colossians was written. The translation into God's kingdom was effected at that time. In other words, men and women were being translated into the kingdom. Wait, they were not translated in a non-existent thing. The kingdom must have existed for them to have been translated in it. What about the passage in Revelation? Is it chapter 2, verse 9? Let me see if it is chapter 2, verse 9.
I know thy works.
Mm-hmm.
And tribulation and poverty.
Let me hear chapter 1, verse 9.
I, John, who also am your brother.
Watch here now.
And companion.
Wait. I, John, who also
am your brother.
Notice now. I am. As John was stating a present reality. I am your brother. No. When he was writing, watch here.
And companion in
I'm
tribulation. I'm
your brother and companion in
tribulation.
The tribulation you Christians are experiencing. Remember, Revelation was written about 90 AD. And John says, at that time, I'm your brother in tribulation.
And in the kingdom.
And where?
In the kingdom.
Where, brother?
In the kingdom.
You get my drift? If the kingdom was not a reality, then the tribulation the Christians were experiencing is not a reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deception. It's a lie. But it's no lie. This passage is telling you that the kingdom existed then. The Jehovah Witness says, because God's kingdom with Christ on the throne was set up in heaven in 1914. Where you get them foolishness here from? Just one more point here. The new heaven was born or had its foundation laid in the year 1919. You all got that? They are talking about the new earth that the Bible speaks about. The Jehovah Witness says it was born, which means it came into existence, being, or its foundation laid in 1919. You see, that's the time, about the time the Jehovah Witness false man-made institution got started. But my point is that if you'd like a book like this, I can sell it to you for a few $1 million. Because you wouldn't get one. The Watchtower Society wouldn't print this. The only way they would print this, it would have to be revised. Change, go on to some of the... because Jehovah's Witness cannot defend so many files within here when you use the Bible and show the files. What is the point? The point, brothers and sisters, is that when men and women put together any religious system, any religious manifesto, after a few decades, it's going to need revision, upgrading, alteration. Not so with the Almighty God. The Almighty God again gives us a plan of salvation. I'm always fascinated. Sometimes I'm on the road, and you see an old car. And even though the person fixed it up and it looked, you know, you can see that it's coming from the ancient of days. And then you look and say, can you imagine when that car came out 20 or 25 years ago, it looked nice. But after a few years, it doesn't look so anymore. That's the way of man. Anything we put together after a while, it becomes obsolete. Not so with the Almighty God. And all I'm saying, you can trust the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was meant to last throughout this dispensation. The word of God abides forever. So when men and women come and talking about the Bible is outdated, it is antiquated, it is ancient. No, they are wrong. God's word will always be relevant. Timely. It needs no revision. It needs no upgrading. It needs no adjustment. God's word is practicable everywhere and in all situations. And you know what it says about God's order for marriage and the home will always be relevant as long as the word of God lasts. The last passage, 1 Peter, chapter 1, 22 to 25.
In, ye have purified...
Just a minute, because sometimes there are some things long after, before you get... Just as an illustration, we are about finishing. I was pointing out, and this is why I brought these books, to show that when men recognize that their error is so bright and conspicuous, they have to withdraw from what I'm listening, hearing, and reading. It won't be long before the Roman Catholic Church officially gives the order that the priest can now. The Anglican Church has already done that. But when the Anglican Church broke out from Roman Catholicism under King Henry VIII, they held on to the same thing that they preach in that man. Now, may I? When Mrs. Ellen G. White, out of ignorance, because had that woman and her company do a little more reading in the Bible, they would realize that the Bible too plainly teaches that Old Testament system has been made to the cross. It was put an end to by Jesus Christ, by the gospel of Christ, and that until this day when you try to live by that system, you are cut off from the grace of God. Had she done adequate reading, what of course I've discovered is that most founders of denomination were ignorant to a great degree of lack of what the Bible teaches. That's a fact. But suffice it to say, if Mrs. Ellen G. White had done a little more reading, she would realize that God never meant that the Sabbath be kept worldwide, because we cannot keep it worldwide. That's the fact. Why the Sabbath cannot? You see,
all should keep the same time together. That's the Sabbath was not given whereby one Israelite doing his own thing and another set of Israelites keeping the Sabbath. One set of people keeping the Sabbath and another set doing their work. It was never meant to be like that. Don't forget this. May I? The Sabbath was meant to be kept by all who keep it, keep the same time together. Take the same country. And I pose that to Sabbath keeper. Why the Sabbatarian? The Sabbatarian in CALIA in California. Why is it that when they are sleeping, Sabbatarian in Florida are keeping the Sabbath? It's the same country, you know. We are not talking about two different countries. Now, if this, I'm not making up this, you know, because California is 3 hours ahead. You understand? So while Sabbatarian, and not just California, many places in America, depending on East Coast or wherever, while they are still in bed sleeping, your Sabbatarian keeping the Sabbath for some 2 or 3 hours. We're talking about the same country. If that can happen, why can't Sabbatarian in Jamaica, while those in Kingston keeping the Sabbath, those in Olaba working? You see, brothers and sisters, God never meant for the Sabbath to be kept worldwide. You know why? It cannot be kept worldwide. It was never meant to be so kept. Sooner or later, Sabbatarian going to, well, they have some foolish explanation. I mean, foolish explanation. It was one of the arguments that Ian Boyne acknowledged to me when we had our first debate here, that not him for six. And to this day, he had a way that if you bring it up again, he'll just brush it one side because he couldn't deal with it. He has no explanation. Not even a false one. What is the point? When men and women put together falsehood, sooner or later they're going to see reason for revision. Huh?
adjustment or upgrading. Not so with God's business. Read the passage.
Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit on the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed.
You are born again?
Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible.
Let's just hear more about the incorruptible seed.
By the word of God.
That's what Paul is saying. What I'm talking about, a seed that cannot be corrupted, that does not become decay, is the word of God. That's what Paul referred to as seed. Read.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
The word of God lives and abides forever. Christian, you get that? It's important that you remember this when people are talking about the Bible is outdated and it is antiquated and it is irrelevant. The Almighty God is telling, don't move that. He's telling us that God meant for it to last forever and to serve God's only purpose forever. Read on.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass.
But, what it is getting to is that all the things that you and I did, I was talking about power a while ago. Anything we put together, they glory things. Sooner or later, they become what was pretty, become ugly, and fade away, and you can't use it anymore. You know? But what you're not is leading to something. The glory of man.
The grass withereth.
The glory of man is just like the grass. Whatever man put together in vain, grass about.
And the
it's like the grass. Sooner or later it withers. Read that.
And the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
You must mark that passage. That when men and women come up with that, the fact the Bible is irrelevant, it is old, and it does not address things at modern times. First you let men and women know that the Bible will always be light years ahead of them. And the fact that God, who has created this world, men, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to last forever. Thank you.